Spring is here, and you can now get almost anything you need for your sunny days delivered with Uber Eats. What do we mean by almost? Well, you can't get a well-groomed lawn delivered, but you can get a chicken parmesan delivered. A cabana? That's a no. But a banana? That's a yes. A nice tan? Sorry. Nope. But a box fan? Happily yes. A day of sunshine? No. A box of fine wines? Yes. Uber Eats can definitely get you that. Get almost anything delivered with Uber Eats. Order now. Alcohol in select markets. Product availability may vary by region. See app for details.
What You Need to Know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Linz, what do you got?
All right, guys. So the average price for a gallon of regular self-serve gas in LA County went up a penny overnight, but it brought the price to $6.47, which breaks the record of $6.46 sent back in June. So obviously with it being record high prices, people are starting to scramble and wonder if they're going to go up again. And the price hikes are expected to continue for several weeks because refineries are undergoing maintenance. So, yeah, they could be going up as much as 15 cents over the next couple weeks.
Man, this is some bull weevil is what that is.
I mean, listen, you should have done what I did.
You know they went up 50 cents overnight, last week?
Yeah, but, didn't it come back down again, and now all of a sudden it's going back up again? And didn't I read something that the governor told the refineries to start using, the winter blend rather than the summer blend, which is cheaper and therefore prices would go down? It is ridiculous when you look at the gas prices when you drive by and you're like, $6.47 again, dude?
So listen, do you want to know? I just looked this up because you can look this up online. Do you want to know what the price of gas was when I bought the electric car?
I'll take a stab at it.
Go.
$4.79.
Too high. $4.28 according to this.
Okay? What was that?
October of 2021.
Oh, wow. A year ago.
$2.50 a gallon. It's gone up since then.
That's insane.
That's the smartest investment I've ever made, ever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, George, I hate to admit it, but you outsmarted us all on that one.
Should have listened to me.
His car is beautiful, too. I think it's parked next to mine.
It is a nice car. I like it. It's that,
so nice.
That electric Mustang, and it's got the inside kind of looks very Tesla-like with that big screen.
Yeah.
It's really a nice car.
All right. Thank you. That is What You Need to Know, brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. All right. So I mentioned Sam Amick does a phenomenal job covering the NBA. He's one of the best in the business. Does an incredible job with Shams and that whole group at The Athletic. He's kind enough to join us here because he's been writing a lot about the Lakers most recently and the Russ situation. Is it still in play? What was the summer like, et cetera, et cetera? And Sam and his colleagues there did a great job documenting it. But, Sam, before we get to all that, okay, because there's a lot to dissect just with that alone, we were just playing. Did you hear LeBron on Kareem yesterday at all or no?
Are we talking, George? And as always, thank you for having me, buddy. About the clip, the very, very brief clip about them not having a relationship?
Correct, yes.
Yes, yes, I saw that.
That is as icy can get, right? That relationship, do you think that can be repaired? I mean, I don't know. I guess there wasn't one originally, right? So I don't know if reparation is the right word. But what do you make of all of that?
I didn't know what to think because, in fairness, I was in L.A. for media day, and LeBron said some very positive things about how honored he would be to pass Kareem's record. He made a passing reference to, and I'm paraphrasing, but this is close, to the idea that, you know, even though he hasn't, you know, he said some things about me in the past, I admire him. He kind of referenced some of their complicated history. But all in all, his tone, you know, was extremely deferential and respectful. Last night, I don't know what to make of it. Obviously, I wasn't there. You kind of wonder, is it him being in a mood and it didn't matter what you asked him? Is it legit where he's decided that I'm already done with Kareem questions? I don't know, but it was strange.
Yeah, I don't know, because he was pretty happy before that question.
He was. I saw the whole
was
thing
he?
Live.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. I didn't see that part. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it is odd, and it's gonna make the storyline a little uncomfortable. The NBA, I think, would much prefer LeBron just being excited about passing Kareem and just saying how great of a player and a person, you know, he is and was.
Yeah. How about the Lakers? The Lakers as an organization. Yeah. I mean, the NBA is one thing. How about the Lakers? Jimmy Buss would be like, LeBron, do you mind? Because, he's kind of one of the most important figures in the history of our organization. Can you please chill?
Yeah. Right. Well, that's not always the way they want it to go in Lakerland.
As you know very well, Sam Amick of The Athletic with us here. All right, I got a running theory about the summer Kyrie thing. Can you hear me out for 1 second?
Yeah, for
okay.
Sure.
So I'm of the belief that that deal could have been had early, like, you know what I mean? Like early in July, before all the other stuff fell out and they eventually figured out that Kevin Durant was going to come back or they were going to try to repair that. But I felt like the Lakers could have had him had they traded the two picks, the 27 and 29, with the THT Russell Westbrook thing. That the Nets at that time, with all the uncertainty with Kevin Durant and obviously Kyrie even as well, that they would have done that deal early in July before all the other stuff played out after the fact.
Yep.
Does that sound crazy or does that sound realistic to you?
No, it was very hot. It seemed hot and heavy at that time. And it doesn't admittedly completely reconcile with, you know, what was in our piece and what we're being told now, which is that they're not looking off to next summer and thinking, okay, you know, our next attempt to get Kyrie is when he is going to be a free agent. But I don't know, and admittedly can't put my finger on exactly what changed, other than, you know, some of this stuff is not rocket science. If the fans and all the media are in mass reacting to Kyrie, and not to speak for, you know, all of society, but like it, with like an eye roll and a shrug a lot, where you just go, why? Why has he always got to, you know, be like this? And like, I think there's some of that within teams that might have interest in him. And it speaks to his level of reliability and his level of kind of credibility. First and foremost, though, you know, they have interest in guys who play. And not only did he not play last year, but it just spoke, I think, volumes about, you know, kind of how he saw his teammates and, you know, whatever. We know that whole backstory.
Yeah.
It seems like the wind has changed. And I don't know exactly what to attribute it to specifically. It also seems like there was a moment when the Lakers, I think, for sure saw an opportunity, you know, for him to shock the world and sign that taxpayer mid-level, and, you know, and on that kind of a rate, you know, he would have been a steal, obviously. But that didn't come to pass.
So do we think that the Kyrie deal was there to be had? Because that's kind of what we've been going back and forth on. And I think, Sam, the way I read it in your piece, it was like the Nets pulled it all back because they didn't know what was going to happen with Kevin Durant. So they weren't really ever serious about making that move. Did I read it the way you wanted me to read it?
I think that when Kevin rescinded, I mean, then it was, you know, everything died down. Yes, I think it was real, the idea of the Nets giving up Kyrie. I don't know 100% if the Lakers were willing to give up the two first, although a lot of the intel indicates they were. And it seemed at the time that there was, you know, a thumbs up coming from the LeBron side where this was, you know, the preferred plan. So yes. And, you know, I think you had these moving parts and staggering timelines between Kyrie and Kevin. But once the Nets started seeing a sliver of hope that they could, you know, patch this thing back together and maybe try to give it a go, obviously that went away.
Sam Amick of The Athletic with us here. Sam, how close or real, I guess, for lack of a better phrase, was the Indiana thing?
That one was, it was, I love this stuff, I'll be honest, guys, as far as this job and, like, understanding the way teams operate.
Yeah.
So, to your question, George, it's like, you know, we always focus on, hey, this team offered this, and this team said no, this and that. There's this whole buildup to that, right, where you have just extensive analysis internally and meetings and conversations and looking at it from every angle before teams decide what they're comfortable offering. And some teams are more unilateral, where you've got a powerful figure in the middle who makes these calls almost by himself. And then, you know, the Lakers in the past have been that at times. This one was a little different. This was, you know, Rob Pelinka, you know, Jeannie Buss remotely being involved, Darvin Ham, Kurt Rambis, Joey and Jesse Buss, and these conversations about whether they wanted to do it. I would say it was very close in terms of where the mood was in the room. And to be clear, there was some virtual stuff here as well, because not everybody was in town, but I think it was very close. And it was, to me, a development in terms of the Lakers ecosystem that all of a sudden they paid attention to the idea that there was not a consensus, and they decided, and really Rob Pelinka decided that without a consensus, he didn't want to go forward with it. And that is not how the Westbrook trade went down to begin with. It's not how they've always done things. And I'm not even necessarily saying, you know, one way's right, one way's wrong, but it is a development, and it is a little bit different for them.
But, Sam, what are you saying? Are you saying that Pelinka didn't want to make the decision, even though, because in your piece you say he's got the right to pull the trigger, but he did not want to do it because he didn't want to be out on an island by himself and be completely responsible for the decision if it didn't work out?
I obviously can't read Rob's mind, but I think that way that you just put it is I think, fair. You know what I mean? Like, that wouldn't surprise me if that was the calculus. I don't know that for sure. I just know that it's funny, and I'm a broken record recently in chats that I have with people in the league. No, I feel like not a ton of people are watching the Lakers doc on Hulu right now, which I think has actually been pretty good.
Oh, really?
And
me too.
What I've loved about it. Right. But if you watch it, people think it's just looking down memory lane, right? There's all kinds of stuff that informs what's happening with them right now. And I only bring that up to say that in the documentary, you get reminded that when Jeannie Buss fired her brother, Jim Buss, that there was a lot of pushback from within her family. And there's a lot of pressure and a lot of, you know, mainly her brother, Johnny, this sentiment that, you know, it's not okay that you pushed out a family member. And this is just me talking. I feel like there is a sense right now that Joey and Jesse Buss have developed enough league-wide respect and seem to be good enough at these jobs that they are being, you know, empowered a bit more than before. And again, that's how I'm reading the room. And I think, you know, the backstory of the Buss involvement in the past kind of tells you maybe, you know, why that might be happening. And so your question about Rob, I think he's a smart enough guy to know that if the owner's got certain wishes that kind of coincide with what they're trying to accomplish, then you're going to meet in the middle and maybe do that.
Yeah. Sam Amick of The Athletic with us here. Again, an incredible story on the Lakers. Make sure you check it out. It's on the front of their NBA page. My follow-up question before you got to them was going to be about them, because I love what they've done in their roles within the organization, whether that's the G League and the draft and the scouting and all the stuff that they do. They've been phenomenal. The Lakers have found a ton of diamonds in the rough with very little assets in a lot of cases. And obviously when they had assets, you see a lot of those young guys have become very good players in this league. So I think those guys, the younger Buss brothers, deserve that opportunity. But, you know, I would imagine that can be precarious just based on the dynamics that currently exist, though, Sam, right? Like, I mean, particularly with Rob, and just would they have to then reshuffle everything? Like, would Jeannie still be the governess? Like, how would that transition eventually work? Would they eventually see basketball completely, or how would that work?
I feel like that's, George, I think a little ahead of it. And then the answer is I don't know. But I think it's very nuanced right now, and I think it's all very informal. It's not, there's not title changes coming. You know, there's not promotions, elevations coming that I'm aware of. It's more the idea that I think the Lakers are well aware that there has been a lot of criticism, some of it coming from me in the past, that, you know, they are not the most comprehensive collaborative group in terms of the front office. You look at even the crosstown Clippers and the idea that the Clippers, you know, led by Lawrence Frank, but have a bunch of guys in their front office who are widely seen as GM caliber. You got Jerry West as a consultant, of course, a kind of a deep roster of basketball mind, and they have an incredibly thorough process with their roster, their decision-making. I feel like this is an answer to that. I also think it's kind of fair and responsible to qualify all of this by saying, I'm curious to see if it continues down the road, or do we later find out that, you know, maybe the undercurrent here was that there just wasn't enough enthusiasm for this particular trade.
Right.
You know how, like, life in general, like, if you're not that excited about doing something,
right,
and then you look at the person who has a little bit of a say right next to you, you might be like, yeah, I'm with you. Like, I'm not feeling it. Like,
I like the patience.
If he was that, yeah, let's be patient. And it's also just in terms of executives and politics and Rob being the guy we're talking about here, you know, you did the Westbrook trade. Yes, LeBron pushed for it, but Rob absolutely pushed for it as well and got it done. So on the front end, you did something that obviously hasn't worked very well. He's a smart enough dude to know that on the back end, if he is out on an island, to use your guys' terminology, and the Pacers thing doesn't work, then you lost both sides of that Westbrook experience.
Right. Yep.
And I think
yep.
that would the optics would be terrible for him.
Yep.
And then, okay, so what is the expectation moving forward? I got the sense from reading your story that that situation, they're going to look basically to see what the next 10 to 20 games look like in the regular season before maybe perhaps making a decision on Russ?
Yeah, that's my sense. I don't have any sort of defined window. I feel like the
The early part of the season.
Early,
right, yeah, yeah.
Early part of the season, yeah. I mean, yeah. Then they're going to want to see regular season games. You know, even last night's a great little microcosm or, you know, sample size thing where Russ had some good moments offensively. You know, you see him screening off ball, which we never saw before. You know, some nice passes, finding his teammates. But then some of those viral clips defensively where he was terrible. You know, so we'll see where that goes. But I think if they stumble out of the gate, this, you know, there's pressure here. It's a very important season. I think LeBron continues to be pretty supportive and patient. But I also definitely get the sense that, you know, if things are going the wrong direction, I think that they will probably hear from him at some point. And I do think, to be clear, the Pacers trade is still sitting there as something that they can revisit. I actually, for what it's worth, nobody cares what I think about the deal, but like, I think they're doing the right thing because
I don't think that deal makes them a champion.
No, I agree. I'm with you.
Yeah.
No sense in doing a deal just for deal's sake.
Well, I actually still, if I was them, might do it this season later. But at minimum, the idea that you would make this trade without having a chance to see Russ in this new environment,
yes.
You know, you added Darvin Ham,
yeah.
You got Anthony Davis back, LeBron's healthy. You know, just in terms of making informed decisions, you typically want as much information as possible.
Yeah.
Not knowing how Russ fits to this group is a massive void in the information. And the other part of it, which is, does it elevate them enough to do it? I'm kind of like the Lakers. I change my mind every day. I think that the spacing of Buddy Hield would help, and Miles Turner is a pretty underrated defensive presence. And a well-rounded guy. So I think they'd be a lot better, but, you know, we'll see what they do.
Yeah, and look, ultimately, I think that move, Sam, makes them, you know, it makes them a playoff team as opposed to a play-in team, in my estimation, right? Like, but the West is so godforsaken hard that I don't know if you can even guarantee that. Like, one injury at the wrong time can totally screw you up. But let me ask you this. In regards to LeBron's mortality, because that's also got to be in play here, right, too? Like, how much pressure is on them because of that? Like, basketball mortality, obviously.
Yeah. Yes, thanks. Hopefully he lives a very long life. I think there's pressure, but it feels like they, you know, this is the pickle this season because they're just trying – they want this season to be good. I'm not trying for a second to say that they're punting on this season – but they, if you just fast forward to next summer and you say that they don't trade Westbrook, you know, they are obviously really, really, you know, intrigued by the idea that you could get to next summer with roughly $35 million in cap space, still have your two first round picks. You know, now you're in business. Now you got LeBron, AD, cap space, and two first round picks. Like, that's a pretty damn good recipe.
Right.
And they want to get to that point. And I think that's where the pressure is not being applied. I mean, I kind of had this confirmed just yesterday talking to somebody, the idea that, you know, in a vacuum, somebody put it to me this way, name me a trade in the history of the league, and it's fine if somebody can come up with one, but where two guys, like to call Buddy and Miles role players, like maybe some people disagree, but it's in that territory, right? Like,
yes.
When have two role players been traded for two first-round picks? You know, like the price tag is pretty high. And then because of that, I do understand where the Lakers are coming from.
Yep.
Sam Amick, The Athletic, do yourself a favor, subscribe to The Athletic, support journalism, support journalism in general. Like, subscribe to anybody who's doing
even shockingly,
journalism.
I have an account with The Athletic.
I mean, for a guy who prefers sensationalism. Yes, he's not. Listen, we try to help people out by informing them. He just wants sensationalism. Like,
no,
he
Sam,
should go work for TMZ.
Sam, I even had it on my calendar, cancel The Athletic, because I had like a 1-year subscription with an introductory price, and I had it on my calendar, cancel The Athletic, and I couldn't do it. I'm addicted to it now.
He likes
it. See? You got me.
There you go.
Hey, Scott, I listen, welcome aboard again. I appreciate it. You know, I real quickly, you'll get a kick out of this. I just told my buddy Dan Wookie of the LA Times the other day. I said, hey, I hate to admit it, but I canceled my subscription just so I could get the $1 re-up. You know, so we all play our little games. You know what I mean?
All right, brother.
Well, I do indeed.
Now we got the green light. All right, Sam, thank you for the time as always, man. Appreciate it. Thanks again.
All right, guys. Be good. Thanks.
Later. Take care. Sam Amick of The Athletic with us here.
Let's digest that a little bit on the other side.
Let's do that. Let's digest. All right. You want some Pepto? What do you want for that?
I think he's on to something here. I think we should kind of talk about this a little bit.
Okay. Let's flush it out.
Yeah.
Like you
or
did.
Or you would say, let's tackle it.
Well, like you know, flush it out like you did at the at that
the
hotel
Hilton.
That day.
Yes,
know.
The Hilton in Irvine.
Yeah. We got a break. Sorry. All right. We're back in a minute.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cap wants to digest. Let him digest. Let's go, Cap. Digest. Well, all over the airwaves.
I thought Sam Amick was really good, man. I really did.
Do you know him? Yes or no?
Well, I mean, I only know him just from having him on the show. I don't know him in like real life. You know?
Unbelievable dude.
Seems like a great guy.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you this. I thought reading through their report, and I'm sure not everybody has, but here's the thing. If you're the Lakers, I am with him 1,000%. LeBron, AD, and Russ played 21, 22, 23 games together last year. We don't know for sure that this thing is the disaster that everybody has made it out to be. If Russell Westbrook becomes the player that he promises everybody he's capable of being because he's playing for a coach who's going to put him in a position that's going to make him happy and productive, then let's see what happens if all three guys are healthy. But furthermore, when you only have these two picks, why would you give them away for two guys who are, as Sam describes them, role players? They're not superstars. So even if for some reason this year the Lakers don't pursue a championship necessarily, by the time they get to where we are today, a year from now, they'll have all this money, they'll still have all their picks, they'll still have LeBron and AD, Russ will be on his way, and they can completely add to this roster, not desperately try to add to this roster. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I've told you. My position is I would have traded two picks for Kyrie. I'm not trading two picks for Buddy Hield and Miles Turner. That's just not happening.
Nope, me neither. Me neither. Good job by Sam Amick, though. Nice work out of you, pal. Very good job. I like him.
Now, you didn't go full Romy there, but I want to say you gave me a half Romy.
Half Romy?
Half Romy.
Yeah, just a half a Romy.
I know, but that first one you did. We should pull that audio if we have it. God, please, someone tell me we have that audio.
We do, don't worry.
It was so majestic by you.
Was it?
I mean, dude, you were nailing it. Like, I was like, yo, if Cappy was in the jungle right now, he'd be rocking it.
Tack McKinley.
He brought it out of you. I have never heard you be so passionate about anything else on the show.
Tack McKinley, who are you, bro? Like, who are you, dude? Like, you just showed up to the Rams.
Oh my
you
God.
Just put on a uniform. Your biggest play that you've made so far for the Rams is the assisted tackle you had with Bobby Wagner last night on the protester with the pink smoke that was flying behind him. Who are you, bro?
Oh, you hit the post.
You're damn right I hit the post. Check yourself, dude.
Oh, wreck him.
Too much. That's take. Too much, Cap.
It's a good take is what that is.
Oh, my God. I loved it. Take. I'm telling you, you have made my entire week with
well,
that rant
you.
Today.
Well, thank you very much.
Oh, so good.
I mean, think about this crazy week we're about to have. We were off yesterday because of the Rams.
Are you done with Sam Amick? You wanted to digest.
Well, listen, here's what I'm saying about Sam Amick.
Digest first. Go
He's
ahead.
Right. He's right. You don't go trading your two assets for two role players.
Yeah.
And if the Lakers are not really championship contenders this year because the Russ thing just didn't work out, then you suck it up for the year. Next year you let Russ walk. You've got all this money to spend, and you still have those two draft picks. And if you're committed to LeBron, you're committed to the finish line. You're not committed to the short term. You don't want to hear this, but the fact is you have to play the long game if you're playing the LeBron game right now.
Right,
that also sounded pretty good.
We could talk about that later.
That also sounded pretty solid.
It was pretty good. It was like a three-quarter Romy.
Yeah. I'm on fire today.
You are.
It's all because of yesterday we were off, and then tomorrow I'm off because of Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
And we got a short show on Thursday because of Lakers preseason basketball.
Yeah. By the way, have you seen that Aaron Judge broke the home run record for the American League?
I have seen it.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. Have you seen this video I just put in our text chat of this guy who was trying to dive for the ball?
No, not yet.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I sent it in our text chat. It's from the Action Network. So the guy, they hit the home run. Judge is hitting the home run, right, to, you know, left field or whatever it is. And you see the fans. And this one fan, it's like,
whoa,
he's like seven or eight people away from where the ball actually landed. And he dove from the top of the first row into, like, the bullpen area or whatever the hell.
But that's, George, that's the sort of effort you have to give if you're going to try and make a play on the ball. Because the guy in number 61, the guy who was wearing that Blue Jays uniform and who had the glove.
The guy that's not named Lasagna that everybody thought was Lasagna.
Joey Lasagna reached over the gate, and he didn't make the play on the ball because he just didn't lay out. He didn't sell out.
Yeah, but
he didn't
give you everything. This guy's like 10 seats away.
I know, but he was committed, George. He was committed.
I'm putting this in the community.
No, he was way – I mean, how drunk was he? Because he thought he was that close.
Yeah, yeah.
He was not.
You know
how
they
say
depth perception, right, when you've had alcohol? That's exactly what happened to that guy.
Nope, not that
good. I'm putting this in the community.
He climbed right over that fence, and he jumped in. And let me tell you something. If the guy who caught number 62 drops number 62 – that kid's got the ball.
Yeah.
That is commitment right there.
Yeah, but not if you're not that close, bro. All right, coming up next, Radio Tinder. Each and every day at 5:30, sometimes 5:30-ish, adjacent, as we like to say. We're back in 2 minutes.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Yeah, Linz, take it away.
This is what it's supposed to look like on YouTube. All four of us. A four box.
Well, when you don't interrupt me, Cappy.
Well,
thanks, Sedano.
Yeah,
well, because I was waiting for him to tell me, you know. Take it away. So I did. Anyway, so the tattoo artist who designed wrestler Randy Orton's tattoos has won a lawsuit against Take-Two Interactive for recreating her artwork in the WWE 2K video games. So the artist received monetary compensation after her designs were used without her permission on Randy Orton's body, of course, in WWE 2K16, 17, and 18. It sets an interesting precedent for sports sim creators who regularly recreate tattooed athletes. While the athletes themselves may consent to being recreated in-game, tattooed artwork on their bodies may now be deemed to require extra permissions. So, should tattoo artists be paid for their artwork when they're recreated on athletes featured in video games? Swipe left or swipe right, Sedano?
Okay, let me see if I got this right. I'm pulling a Cappy here.
No, you have to say, let me see if I got this straight.
Let me see if I got this straight.
There you go.
The artists want to be compensated because the replica in the video game looks exactly like the original art they created.
Correct. So, like LeBron's tattoo.
That's a fascinating conversation.
Fascinating.
I don't know if I would have an educated answer right away, but like my gut feeling is, yeah, they probably should.
Yeah, like, considering all the money they make off those games.
But right, but I would have to think about it. You know, again, that's just a gut feeling. But that's a really good one. That's probably your best radio Tinder where I don't know how to answer it. To be honest with you.
Well, so I'm just going to give you an immediate opinion.
I'm not swiping. I'm not going to swipe on this one. I'm sorry.
I'm swiping left. I'm giving an immediate opinion. All right?
Okay, go.
My immediate opinion is tough luck to the tattoo artist.
Oh, come on, Cappy.
Let me give you my reasoning.
Okay.
When you're a tattoo artist and you do artwork on somebody who's famous, perhaps you should have some sort of a contract in place that says if and when you are in a movie or in a video game or whatever, this art is on your body, but it's my work. I'm guessing that tattoo artist and probably no other tattoo artist in the history of tattoo artistry has ever asked for that. So in other words, if LeBron James's tattoos are in a video game, does the tattoo artist now come back and sue that game? I guess so.
So actually you're wrong because this has been a thing apparently because I did a little research.
Okay.
And this is a thing within video games. It's different if you're tattooing somebody that's in like a movie or something because you're tattooing that person and that person is then appearing in said movie, whatever. They're making
that money.
Right,
it's the actual person.
But this is a video game that is making a replica of that person and you have to ask the person, hey, do I have your permission to put you in this video game?
Right.
And then the video game company is then going off and making all of this money off of it.
Right, but the video game company, and by the way, I said this is an immediate opinion. This is with no research. So if
sensationalism.
If LeBron James says, yeah, you can use me in a video game, and part of me are all the tattoos on my body, now the tattoo artist is entitled to money?
Well, I think that they should at least do some type of, like, or even ask them permission, and maybe if they went to the tattoo artist and said, hey, we want to make him as lifelike as possible, and we want to use his tattoos, and you made them, so can we have your permission? All they need to do is ask, and then if that person wants a little bit of money, you know, a couple $1,000s for it, whatever.
Well, let me ask a question. Whose tattoos are they? Are they LeBron's, or are they his artists? Are they Randy Orton's, or are they his artists?
In this specific situation, Randy Orton's tattoo artist is the one who designed them. Hence the reason why she sued them for her artwork being used without her permission.
Well, there you go. I mean, my opinion is immediately just based on what I heard, and my opinion is the tattoo artist would not be. But, hey, listen, I'm wrong, because you said she actually got money, right?
Yep.
How much?
She won the lawsuit. It was like $5,000. That's all she wanted. She sued them based off principle and the fact that they didn't ask her permission. Because I've seen this, I remember this coming up at some point. I forget who it was. It was one of the games where they put generic tattoos on the player because of that, for the same exact reason.
Yeah.
Well, that would probably be a good idea going forward.
Yeah, but if you're trying to be, you know, they look like people these days in the video games. They look real.
Randy Orton's got some crazy abs, though, dude.
He does.
Guy's ripped.
He really does.
I wish I had those abs.
Does he smell delicious like Laura's boo?
I don't know for sure, but he looks like he smells delicious.
Yeah. Okay.
I think he probably does. He looks, you know,
Randy Orton? Okay.
Yeah, he's a good-looking man.
All right, what's next, Linz?
All right, so Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher have an open-door policy in their home, which even includes bathrooms. In a recent interview with E! News, Kunis said,
when you said open door, I thought something completely different.
Yeah, I know.
Right. So did I.
Know. Yeah. I know.
And Laura did, too.
You know.
Yeah. We all were like, wait, what?
So to clarify, she said in this interview,
Cappy's
quote,
like, hey, let me get Rachel on the phone. We'll figure this out.
Well, oh, no, don't play the shark theme now. So she said, our doors are always open in our house. There are no closed doors. For better or for worse, as a family, we have all kinds of embodily functions, and it's a standard norm for us.
Mm. All right. I mean, listen, to each their own. I'm not trying to tell people how to live their lives, nor parent or any of that stuff. But, I mean, if you're just asking my personal opinion, that that's a little weird to me.
Well, she said that before having kids, she never thought that she would be, quote, the person who goes to the bathroom with the door open. But here we are. So
okay, and cool. If that's the evolution that her life has taken and Ashton's has taken, good for them. I'll keep my doors. Thank you.
I mean, just to give you an example, this past weekend, Rachel and I were staying in a hotel, and it was a, you know, it was a pretty regular hotel room, king yeah. bed, bathroom, whatever, right?
Hey, king.
So I get up in the morning, and she's like, where are you going? I'm like, down to the lobby. She said, why so? I said, because I got to go to the bathroom.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, like, I did not want to go to the bathroom.
You didn't
want to
poop in front of her.
Well, right. I mean, even though there was, like, a door that you could close for the commode, and
yeah,
then there was another door. Wait, say again, Laura?
Never mind. Just keep going.
She asked how bad you smell.
Well, it's not. It's like she said to me.
You're probably
like,
the answer to that is bad.
You're trying to be courteous, right?
I was trying to be nice. I was trying to be courteous.
I get that.
Yeah. Like put it this way. Let's just say,
from like 1 to 10, 10 being apocalyptic, 1 being roses, where do you rank?
I'd say I'm coming in at about a 7.5. I don't know. There's kind of this weird coffee smell to everything.
TMI,
you know?
Cap. TMI.
Oh, it is?
All right, go ahead.
Is that TMI? Really?
Just for the record, I will say that there is something to what you just said about being in a hotel, Cap. I mean, in your own home, I do not think you should have to, like, you know, leave to go to, obviously, whatever. But in a hotel, it is different.
Well, I mean,
when I was in Disney World with my family, my brother-in-law, he was in the, he pooped in the bathroom that was in the bedroom off of, like, our main area. And I was like, geez, oh, man, couldn't you have just, like, gone in the bedroom and done that? Like, it smelled so bad.
Well, yeah. I just feel like, you know, like, our toothbrushes
was,
are
by
in
the way,
there, you know?
Smelled so bad was very Midwest there.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was funny. It was funny. No, it
just
funny.
Felt like
don't
I was going to get done, and then I was going to open the door, and then, you know, this waft was going to come out, and then it was going to get on our toothbrushes, and then we were going to go brush our teeth.
I mean, what? Again?
Just saying, guys. I mean, like, I'm
a
nice guy.
When you travel?
Yeah,
use
a toothbrush cover, bro.
Listen, I'm a nice guy. I got up.
You
I
did.
Was willing to go to the lobby of the hotel.
What did she say, though? Did she mock
she was like,
you? Or was she
like,
okay, appreciative of it?
You know what she said? She what? Was, I'll tell you what. She was, I'm going to go to the lobby because I'm going to get us some coffee. You do your business.
Wow.
You do your personal
that
business
Rachel,
right here.
She's swell.
So she told you to do it.
She said it was okay to do
oh, okay.
it.
No, she
okay.
said it was
that's
okay.
That's nice. That's nice.
She allowed
she had
him.
To leave.
She allowed,
she
allowed
him.
Yes.
She allowed
yes.
him.
She
you
allowed
got her
him.
Permission.
That is true. Yes.
All right, last one really quick here. So there was a story in the Wall Street Journal last week with the headline, Venmo the Bride, Bachelorette Parties Ask Strangers to Foot the Bill.
Oh, come
oh,
yeah. on now.
And oh, it, no, no. This
it,
is a thing.
It is. So it talks about how it's become a trend for Bachelorette and other groups celebrating special occasions, walking around bars with QR codes
yes.
and Venmo names printed on cards or even their shirts.
What?
And they yep. ask strangers to donate to cover party expenses.
Right.
I even saw somebody when I was in Vegas last weekend, and they were driving around with it written on their car in the chalk paint.
Yep.
It said, like, celebrating my 21st in Vegas, buy me a beer with their Venmo name on it. So do you think that this is tacky, and would you ever send money? Swipe left or swipe right, Sedano?
I think it's funny if you're, like, a kid 21 in Vegas. Like, I think that's funny. I'd probably send that kid $5 or $10 or whatever it would to get him a beer. But the Bachelorette party, first of all, if you're trying to ball out, you better ball out on your own dime, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Look, money is scarce, okay? Like, you know, like, you can't be just spending it all frivolously on people's partying. Like, if it's like a, I don't know, man. Like, I don't know. The 21st birthday, one beer, $10, okay. But what are you donating to this? And by the way, I would say the same about a bachelor party. That's, you know, trying to ball on someone else's budget is not my thing.
Well, I will do this. I'm going to say, because the question was twofold, right, Lindsay? It
yes.
was like, is
do
it
you think
tacky?
It's tacky?
And would you do it?
Would you send them the money?
So, yes, I think it's tacky. And yes, I would send them money. So, George, you know my longtime producer, my longtime podcast producer, Grande Alejandro Padilla, who represents the 805 Oxnard,
yeah.
California, in the house.
Mm-hmm.
He and his buddies went on his bachelor party, and they all had T-shirts printed, and they all had QR codes
mm-hmm,
on them,
mm-hmm.
and they're going bar to bar, mm-hmm. and they're putting it out on social media, and they're going, hey, QR code this guy money. Dude, like $700 came in.
There you go.
Yeah, I believe it, but I'm not. Look, if it's like one kid's 21st birthday, that's a different story to me than trying to ball with your entire bachelor or bachelorette party, right? And trying to raise money for that. Like, one kid's 21st birthday to me, I don't know. I feel like that's different. I wouldn't do it. I'd be like, you know what? Go ball in your own budget.
So, yeah, I wouldn't do it either, but it's a big now popular thing that young people are saying, hey, buy us a drink, buy the groom a drink, okay. Buy the bride a drink.
Well, all you have to do is QR old code ass man moment. Or Venmo. Then here's my old ass man moment. Ain't happening, bro.
I think you that are old. A group of girls, a group of women is way more likely, no offense to your friend, Kat, but I feel like you go to a bar and you see a bunch of like pretty women, you know, and they're all partying together and whatnot, and they hand you a card or it says on their t-shirt, like Venmo's money for my bachelorette party. You're gonna get a lot more money, I would think, than a guy, right?
No, 100% for sure.
So yeah.
Yeah, no doubt.
I know, but it's a new thing, dude. It is a thing.
It is. I got money.
Coming up next, Raiders. Oh, you finally got a win. God, you would have thought these people would have won the Super Bowl this weekend. What is wrong with you, Raider fans? Act like you've been there. But we'll talk about you because I know you've been asking and tweeting in the community.
That's right.
I haven't even talked about the Raiders. Right.
They lose, you talk for 3 hours. They win, you don't give us 5 minutes.
Well, they're 1-3, but we'll talk about them and we will give you more than 5 minutes. But first, Radio Tinder is presented by our sponsor, Tequila Mandala.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
This episode is brought to you by Vital Farms. Isn't it bullshit to have to question where your food comes from? At Vital Farms, you can trace your pasture-raised eggs all the way back to the source, the pasture. On the side of each pasture-raised carton of eggs, you'll find the name of the farm where your eggs were laid. And when you look the farm up on their website, you'll get a peek at all the sunshine, fresh air, and open space the hens enjoy. Learn more and find out where to buy them at vitalfarms.com. Vital Farms, keeping it bullshit free.
Felicidad! Capi.
Yeah. Is this for tonight? Is this for Yom Kippur?
Yeah, exactly.
Very nice.
Tanto amor. Much love.
So much love.
There you go. All right, Cappy.
Yeah, talk to me.
So what are the next, before I get to the Raiders real quick, are the next 24 hours looking like for you?
Well, we're going to get off the air tonight. Sun is going down right about now, mm-hmm. but I'm going to stay on the air with you until 7 p.m.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to have dinner for me and my daughter. Yeah. Although I will tell you, George, I was planning on preparing kind of a, you know, like a salmon kind of dinner, a salad, whatever, you know, just kind of get ready for the holiday. But now that it's like National Taco Day and it is Taco Tuesday, maybe I should do like some tacos or something, you know, maybe instead of like a traditional Hebraic sort of dinner going into the holiday, maybe I should just stop at my favorite local taco shop and pick up some tacos. What do you think about that?
Go crush them.
You think it's a good idea?
Yeah.
You think if I ask...
I don't know what you're asking me. I'm not, you know, I don't know. Is that allowed?
I was going to say, Cap, I heard Ramona talking about it earlier, and she said, like, traditionally the holiday is, like, fasting.
Well, yeah, so what's going to happen
is... But he's got to have one last meal. But
yeah.
You have dinner tonight. Okay. You have dinner tonight, and then you fast all day tomorrow, and then you don't eat again until tomorrow evening when you break the fast. Now, breaking the fast, guys, this is, like, the greatest meal of the year.
Okay.
Because it's like you eat like as if you haven't eaten in 6 weeks, when in reality you've only not eaten in 24 hours.
Right.
And then I just go crazy. I go everything bagel, cream cheese, lox, capers, onions, tomatoes. That's round one. Round two
but I thought you weren't eating carbs after like 3 p.m. or something.
Right. But I just told you that it's like now it's like I haven't eaten in 6 weeks because I fasted for a day.
Okay.
Then round two is probably another everything bagel. And I'm looking into like a whitefish salad, salad.
Everything bagel is delicious.
Everything bagel is unbelievable. And everything salt, you know, that you get like from
the store. Oh, yeah, you can actually pour it on whatever you want. Yeah.
Insane. Yeah. Love it.
It's called everything but the bagel, I think.
Yes. Yeah. So an everything bagel with like some cream cheese, some whitefish salad, maybe another half with some egg salad, maybe another half with some tuna salad. I mean, honestly, I will eat everything in sight.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night.
Until
when
like,
I break
that's
the fast.
It. Like, you know, that's until you're so full that's it.
And then you'll know I'm done when I'm sitting around going like this. Ugh, I'm so disgusting. I am so fat. Ugh. And I'll say something like this, like, I'm going to run home rather than drive home. Right. I got to get this off of me.
Which you'll never do, clearly.
I will not do that. Yeah. No. So that's what it's looking like.
The Raiders ran it all the way home, Cappy. They went to Vegas. They beat Russ. They looked good on defense. They actually held up okay-ish on offense, I thought, particularly along the line.
Well, Derek Carr was not asked to do that much. You know, and I don't mean to knock Derek Carr, but I know he's become like, you know, everybody's punching bag. Mm-hmm. But he wasn't asked to do that much, George. 21 completions, 188 yeah. yards, no touchdowns, no picks. But Josh Jacobs, 28 carries, 144 yards, and two rushing touchdowns. And when you can average 5 yards per carry, and then one thing that Derek Carr did do
now,
that
wait,
he's
wait.
Not been doing.
Wait, yeah? Go ahead. Say that because I have a question for you about that.
The one thing Carr's been not been doing, but he's actually capable of doing it, is running the ball. 7 carries for Derek Carr, 40 yards.
Now, the 21 attempts.
Uh-huh. The 21 pass completions?
Or completions, I'm sorry. Out of how many attempts?
34.
Right.
Not great.
He had, I want to see what he's averaging prior to that, because I feel like he's definitely been well over 40 for a while, right?
I would think so.
As far as just like his attempts per game, because I'm starting to think that maybe they're like, well, you know, Josh Jacobs is still pretty damn good, and we've got other backs here. Maybe if we just less Carr, more run, we can let this defense rest a little bit. And then chase the quarterback like they're supposed to and create havoc that way. And we stay in more games that way as opposed to having Derek sling it all around the field.
Yeah. And by the way, if he's going to throw it, you see this guy right here? We just got him from the Packers and he was like your college best buddy. And you guys really wanted to play together. 9 catches for Davante Adams for 101 yards. So that's the guy you got to try and get it to. Just the same way that people think that the Rams forced the ball towards Cooper Kupp. Well, force the ball to Davante Adams because he's the best player on your offense.
Yeah,
get him the ball.
Yeah, for sure, because it is the lowest total, by the way, he's thrown all season. 37, 39, 44 in the most recent game. But, yeah, look, I think that there is a number, an area of where Derek Carr throws the ball, and I think 34, 35 is probably the max. I would like it between 30 and 35 times if I'm the Raiders, if I'm going to have any semblance of success on offense, I think, and keep your defense fresh.
Yeah, and listen, that game against the Broncos, you know, that's a 10-10 ball game late in the second quarter, and then the Denver Broncos find out that their starting running back, Javonte Williams, is out. So now they're stuck. You know what they're stuck with, George? They're stuck giving the ball to Melvin Gordon. Melvin Gordon has had a case of,
oh my
in fact,
God.
The worst
He's
case.
So bad.
Of fumbleitis.
When it comes to fumbling, yeah.
Dude, Kevin Harlan said on the broadcast, he fumbled again. Not like he had fumbled a couple, you know, drives earlier. Like, just that was his fourth fumble so far, or his fifth fumble so far this year. And if you remember the first game when Denver went to play Seattle, he fumbled twice going in on the goal line.
Yeah.
Melvin Gordon cannot hold on to the football. So he gave up a gift to the Raiders defense. They ran it all the way back, took control of the game, and then were able to hold off Denver in the second half. But let me tell you, they had to win this game because now they'll play Kansas City on Monday night.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And listen, let's just assume for 1 second that Kansas City wins that game and the Raiders are 1-4. It doesn't necessarily mean the Raiders are done because the schedule definitely softens up right after that.
Yeah, but they're fairly done.
Well, but I mean, Kansas City's going to run away with the division.
Yeah.
The Chargers are all beat up.
Yeah.
And they
just lost
Bosa
for 10 weeks, 8-10.
Right. Yeah. And their left tackle's out. Their quarterback is hurt. Their best wide receiver's hurt. Their best defensive back is hurt. I mean, they got a lot of problems. So I think the Raiders, even if they find themselves at 1-4, which is probably what's going to happen, after that, you know, you've got the Texans, the Saints, the Jaguars, the Colts, the Broncos, Seahawks. These are all very winnable games.
Winnable, yes. Nothing is a given in this league.
Not at all. But you could find yourself 1-4, and you might find yourself 6-4 just a few weeks later.
Wow, that's a hot take.
Is it? It's an overreaction Tuesday, isn't it?
Rack him.
Yeah, go ahead.
Put him on a shelf. Oh, here's my over. I have an overreaction Tuesday.
Okay, let me hear it.
I mean, we didn't have overreaction Monday, but you ready?
Yeah.
Caleb Williams is the next Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, that's quite an overreaction.
I'm willing to put whatever you want on it.
And how do you quantify that he is the next Patrick Mahomes?
That when he gets drafted, not this season because he's got one more year in school, next season the comp will be Patrick Mahomes. Like Mel, McShay, all these guys, all the people that talk on TV, all the talking about, you know, he's got some Patrick Mahomes in him.
Yeah, that's what they're going to say, huh?
Yeah.
Nah, I don't want to bet that.
Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Magician.
So that means you agree, Cap?
No, it doesn't mean I agree. It just means that I like, that's just not a bet I want to take because it just doesn't sound like something that, you know, I can really like control. You know,
or even wait, but you can't control a lot of the things we bet on here.
Yeah, that's true. But this one is just doesn't even seem like worth it to me to bet on it.
Right. Oh, fair enough.
You know,
but I think he's the next Patrick Mahomes.
I mean, two weeks ago at Oregon State, everybody was like, "Yeah, he's the next."
But he bounced.
He's the next Justin Fields.
He bounced back from that game, dude. He's only played in 14 games. Like he's allowed to have a bad one, but look at he bounced back in a big way. Cappy, the stuff he does on the field, when he has the ball, these pump fakes, spinning out, jump pass, crazy stuff. Like, this is like the type of stuff you see Mahomes do. Like, there's no one else, I think, that does it in the way he does it with the arm strength and the accuracy that he does it with when he actually does fling the ball on the run or whatever. He is the best quarterback in college football today, and USC is going to be lucky enough to have him for another season.
How many years is he removed from high school?
He was a freshman last year.
He was a true freshman last year?
Yeah, he played for Spencer Rattler when they benched Spencer Rattler at Oklahoma.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't know if he was a true freshman, true sophomore. I didn't know exactly what he was or how, you know, if this was going to be it for him.
Yeah, but or maybe it's 11 games he's played. He hasn't played very many games yet.
Very Trey Lance-like.
Well, except he's doing it at huge programs.
Right,
you know,
Oklahoma,
not North Dakota State, you know. Yeah. But I think he is legit good, man. Like, so bleeping good.
Well, you saw him up close and personal this past weekend. I've not seen him play in person yet. I just seen him play on TV. I'd like to get to a USC game before the season's over. We got to figure out when we should go to a game.
Let's see if I get the Notre Dame game, and then we just go to that.
Yeah, or we should probably go to the USC-UCLA game because we'll talk about it later on. But that game could shape up to be a much bigger game.
Let's talk about that. Let's do that coming up in just a second. Stick around. Plus, what you need to know is next, 710 ESPN.